CB Shuckin' Jive.
All you racing fans, stand up, clap your feet. I mean, clap your heads. Welcome to the Goat Rodeo.
CRN Studios in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Racing Through History.
Hello, race fans. Welcome to another edition of the Goat Rodeo. My name is Jeff Gilder, and I will be your host. We're live tonight on Facebook Live on our Racers Reunion page, folks. That's where we're at. If you want to watch the stream, that's where you can see it. I'll get it up embedded on the stock car site here shortly. Let's get around and say hello to everybody that's here. Coastal Jack Walker is joining us by Skype tonight. CJ, how you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing great. Couldn't get any better.
So why aren't you here?
Well, I'm playing hooky. It's a long story, but basically I've got the Snowball Derby on here, and I tried to watch it Sunday, and it was rain delayed to Monday, and I tried to watch it Monday, and it was rain delayed to Tuesday, and they started it at 5 o'clock Central Time tonight.
Well, there you go. Tim Leamy is in the lair. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Jeff. I have no clue what Jack is talking about. I know what the Snowball Derby is. I know I got rained out twice, but I didn't know that it was running tonight.
Tonight on pay-per-view.
There you go.
Oh, that's why I'm not watching it then.
The man on the street, Splitter, Hewlin Oval Crash. Anything else you can think to call him is here. How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good. At least Bobby and I made it to the studio.
That's good, yeah.
Otherwise, we would just have a blank. Where are we tonight, by the way?
We're in the beach studio.
In the beach studio.
Yeah.
That wasn't my question.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air.
Yep, Is this on? Is this on?
Hello there, John Boy, Billy.
Let me make sure I didn't lose Tim. Are you still there?
Robert,
I'm here.
Zach, you still there?
I'm here.
Trying to add Cody. I can't get Cody added to Skype. Keeps failing, Cody. I'm still trying, buddy. I'm still trying. Hang in there. Well, somebody talk about something while I work on getting Cody online, okay?
Well, it's good to be here, Jeff.
It's good to be here, too.
Good to be here.
Here, let me get things started off with.
Yeah.
I get my news from right here on Racers Reunion, my racing news. Last night on Patrick Reynolds' show, Speedway Report. Is Patrick online there? He's not there yet. Maybe he'll come on. Somebody from the Monster Energy Drink Company made a statement that I thought was rather prophetic, maybe not in a good way.
And what you're talking about.
So I thought that'd be a good way to start the show off tonight. When somebody asked him something relative to engaging NASCAR's older fans, he said, young people create trends. It's up to the old people to adjust.
Yeah, I read that.
How's that working?
I read that.
Where's he been?
Yeah, how's that working for you, Brian?
I'm turning it over to you now, so you guys take that water.
I read that. I guess backing up the bus a little bit, it was announced about last Thursday in conjunction with the NASCAR Awards Banquet that Monster Energy was coming on for 2017 as the title sponsor. So I guess that wasn't a very closely guarded secret. As time had unfolded, Monster became the leading player to replace Sprint. So now that the cat is out of the bag, everyone in NASCAR and so on and so forth is extremely excited because Monster is quote-unquote a fun company and brings lots of fun and relates really well to young fans that NASCAR is desperately wooing. So, Jeff, I guess that gets us back to your comment that young people set trends that old people follow.
Is that true?
I don't.
Maybe, maybe not.
It's not a blanket truth.
I don't think it's anywhere close to
that. Okay. Hello.
There
he
is. We get Tim back on here. I had to start over on the Skype. All right, we got them all now. There now. Tim, you back?
Cody, you there?
I'm here.
Jack, you're there?
I'm here.
Tim is ringing, so he should be there any minute. So here is my point on that subject. Young people do not create trends. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Consumers create trends. Doesn't matter if they're young or old, they're consumers. So if young people are going to create a NASCAR trend, then they're going to have to lower the price so young people can consume it. Does that make sense? Anybody?
And shorten the race so that their short attention span.
Well, they got the attention span of a gnat.
Right. These 500-mile races, they'll never make it.
Yeah, all that makes sense. Plus, you know, Patrick also has another point that being introduced to racing is from older people. You kind of hand it down.
Exactly. In my case, my dad was a trendsetter, and I followed him.
In my case, you know, it was Uncle Bobby.
Yeah. All right, there we go. I was getting a ton of noise from one of you guys. I think it was Tim. All right.
And when I got to the track, there was a bunch of other much older people that was all setting the trend. I was just adapting and following and learning and trying to get up to speed. But yeah. I certainly wasn't setting the trend.
Yeah, you was just a kid that was trying to learn the ropes, just like me.
Well, but part of my legendarial tonight will address that monster energy. And I have observed, well, I'll get to it when I get to the legendarial. You know, but it's what you're saying. It's not the young people going to set the trend. And when you look at everything that's going on in colleges these days, you know, how do you expect those kids to come out to be race fans? That's not going to happen.
they won't even honor the flag of the United States, much less NASCAR.
You know, all looking for a safe place.
Yeah, we've got colleges that are refusing to fly the American flag. I think American University was one that took it down, and there's two or three more I've seen in the past week that have several high schools nationwide won't fly the flag.
They need to take whoever's responsible for that and hang them from the top of the damn flagpole.
Yep, and cut off every dime of funding they get from anywhere. See how long that lasts.
They don't care. I mean, it is to the point where they really don't care.
If they can't pay their teachers, they'll start to care, because the teachers will bail on them real quick.
Well, all the part of the problem is teachers' unions. Part of the problem is things like teachers' union come up with Common Core.
Well, the teachers' unions are a lot of the problem.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Exactly they are. You know, it's like trying to get a union in stock car racing, and now they've got the charter system, and they've got the other race team alliance, and I haven't heard a thing on the race team alliance since February. So does anybody know, number one, does it still exist, and number two, is it doing anything?
Well, if I'm like you, Tim, if it's doing anything, it's very much behind the scenes. It's certainly not.
Oh, yes, behind the scenes.
But this charter, all the negotiations and the legalities and the reality of this charter system is quickly coming into focus. With all these various teams shutting and closing and buying and merging and all this mess,
we're going to see whether or not that system works between now and the first Daytona race.
What did they give? 38 charters, if I remember correctly. It was 38 charters. The last that I saw in the arguments back and forth, there's at least five of those charters either not coming back or doing something else. So that leaves them down to 33. So what's the value of a charter now? It was supposed to be big bucks, but now what is the value of a charter?
So before we get off the young people part of it, let's ask our young people about that situation. Cody, you've been around this a long time, buddy. You're kind of like an old young person.
I feel like one.
How do you feel about that statement from Monster Energy?
Well, I kind of think, in a way, it can be good to draw the young people in.
I'm not saying it's not good to draw the young people. I'm all for drawing young people. My issue is with the statement that young people create trends.
I mean, they help.
Yeah.
I don't think they solely create the trend, but it's a big part of it.
Well, for a NASCAR to gain attendance at the tracks, there are going to have to be a lot more people there buying expensive tickets and staying in hotels and stuff like that. That's the point that I think, but apparently that doesn't matter. Maybe we're just getting away from that model altogether, and we're going to attract the young kids to TV.
I really don't think, you know, as much as they're saying that Monster's going to bring in the younger generation, I just don't think the younger generation cares.
I don't think they care either.
You have some casual NASCAR fans that are my age, and especially around here, they know who Chase is. Doesn't mean they follow him, or, you know, if he does something, they're going to hear about it through town. But I mean, it's not like they constantly follow every single week and keep up with the points and everything like that. So I really don't think that a different sponsor is going to bring them back. It'll be good for the people that's already fans and that already go to the races, because they'll get to get the free drinks and the whatever they're going to offer to the fans. But it's mostly just for the people that's already a part of NASCAR.
So the other part is that young people don't consume their entertainment on television. But NASCAR still has several years left of their $8.2 billion television contract. With Monster Energy coming in, there's a disconnect there. If you're going to engage the younger people, you're going to have to engage them online. I just think there's a lot of work to do to make this thing work, guys. I'm glad they got it. Glad they got a sponsor. They should be a great – I mean, hopefully it works great for everybody. Love the idea of doing something finally that might get younger people out to the track to carry on the tradition. But I just felt like that with that person making that statement, he might have stepped on his whatever.
Yeah,
right off the bat. After everything that we've been through already.
Yeah, but I mean, Jeff, if you listen to any time that Brian Francis is giving a press interview, his disjointed and disconnected statements are worse than, I think, what the guy from Monster said. The guy from Monster said what he was thinking, and Brian just doesn't seem to get his thoughts together before he speaks. I mean, I'm just saying.
I agree.
Has any financial figures been released yet as to what the Monster contract is all about?
I can tell you what I read. And
I bet they got a deal on it, though.
You know they do. What I read
was Sprint was paying $50 million a year. Monster's going to be paying $20 million a year.
And NASCAR was looking for $100 million a year.
Yeah. Well, they can keep looking.
They're
looking for $1 billion over 10 years is what they were looking for.
They can look in one hand and blank in the other and see which one of them fills in first.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff. They were looking for $1 billion,
yeah,
$100 million a year,
yeah,
and they apparently getting about 20, so that's a fifth. They took a cut.
Yep.
It's probably about 20 million is better than no million.
Yeah, it's probably not a long term deal either. I can't imagine it would be. But anyway,
That's the other thing they don't release. They have always released contract length.
Yeah.
You know, and this time, no, I've got a clue. It's like a year to year deal.
Well, like I said, I'm glad they got a sponsor. I'm glad that, I mean, they had to get a sponsor before the year ended. It would be terrible.
It sort of smelled to me like that Monster Energy might have been holding out to get a bargain basement price, which they did, by most people's standards. So, and maybe why they had to wait until after the season was over. Because Monster Energy may very well have held out until the last minute to get the best price they could get.
Yeah, they might have realized they didn't have a whole lot of competition fighting to get that sponsorship.
Well, that's like Ollie's, buy good stuff cheap.
Yep. You know, the other thing is they said they may drop the cup designation, like Sprint Cup, Winston Cup. The cup part may be gone.
Yeah, I read that too, Jack. There are those that think that should be gone, but although they haven't decided what this whole thing will be called, you know, the monster or whatever.
Right. I mean, can you imagine that? They don't know what it's going to be called. Well, think about the logos and programs and all that.
That is more evidence that this whole deal came together at the last second.
Exactly.
They did announce it, but that's all that they know at this point is Monster's going to pay something and they're going to be a sponsor. Beyond that, we ain't worked nothing out. So it obviously was a last-minute deal. Daytona is how many weeks away? 2 months, a little over, you know.
Like 80
like
days, I think, 82 days.
Yeah. So. Don't you know that the sign companies and the Monster Energy and NASCAR are meeting in some back room to try to work out something because all that stuff doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, they've got to rebrand everything. First of all, they got to come up with a name.
They got to come up with a name. They got to come up with we kind of know what the logo is going to be. And, oh, yeah, well, we got to paint how many racetracks?
I was about to say, Charlotte's going to be green here pretty soon. Yeah. So yellow.
Might be black.
Well, yeah. It's going to be black with little green, greeny squigglies.
Remember back in the day when green was the kiss of death?
Yeah.
Back in the 50s and 60s, Joe Weatherly wouldn't even look at nothing green, for instance.
And you better not bring a peanut, an unshelled peanut, on racetrack grounds anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, by any estimation, this was a late assembled arrangement with the details have yet to be worked out, or they would have been announced at the press. But there's no reason not to announce them if you've got them,
which obviously they didn't have, or they would have.
Yeah, there's no reason to hold that. But the there's not much time to Daytona when that's the Super Bowl of the whole thing. And when you've got to be fully up to speed.
And, you got to print tickets, and those special tickets that they print now aren't printed on a backyard press either to keep them from counterfeiting them. All the holograms and stuff that print on the tickets, maybe that's why the tickets are so expensive.
Good point.
They could just go down to Office Depot and get a roll of tickets.
Right, yeah.
That's what Big Bill done back in the day.
That's right.
Yeah, there wasn't an Office Depot, but he went down to Globe Printing.
Yep, and they printed him some rolls of tickets.
Yeah. All right, Bopper, speaking of rolls of tickets, you're up, man. Your segment. Take it away.
Well, there has been some... The Monster announcement coming out of the banquet weekend, which I did not watch the banquet. Did anybody watch?
I didn't.
Did you watch? Jack?
I did not.
Cody?
Jack?
No.
Anybody?
No.
Yes.
No.
Wait a minute. I had a yes.
I guess
who
I'm the only
watched?
One then. Did you watch, Cody? I'm the only one then.
Yep, he did.
Okay, and how did that go, like most banquets do?
Well, I told myself I wasn't going to watch it because it's always the same planned out 5-minute speech. They just changed the sponsors and everything, and for the most part that's what it was. I just wanted to hear Tony Stewart speak for the last time, but I mean, it's just a normal banquet.
Yeah, okay. But
the funny part was the night before when they had the after the lap deal where they just all kind of poked fun at each other, the top 16. That was pretty funny. But anyway, I don't mean to hijack you.
Oh, that's fine. Personally, I just think that the Waldorf Astoria just had a certain amount of clout that I think they lost or something. I don't know. That's just my take on it. When they left there, you don't have to identify where the Waldorf is. I mean, you've kind of arrived, in my opinion, when you have your banquet there. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. Coming out of the same... kind of more exciting, at least to me, than that coming out of the weekend, was the rumor or the possibility that Dodge has considered coming back to NASCAR.
Woohoo!
Anybody see that?
I missed that.
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
That's going to make racing a lot more interesting. Yep. Not that I'm a Dodge fan, Tim, but at least it's a little more competition. There's somebody else out there that the big three is back.
Well, I'm a Dodge fan.
Well, I know, Tim.
just reading, I mean, and everybody, it's on countless websites, but everybody's got the exact same article, so it doesn't matter where you go. There's no really, I haven't found a new article or any new information, but the CEO of Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, whose name is Sergio Marchionne, said he spoke with NASCAR Vice Chairman Jim France and International Speedway CEO Lisa France Kennedy about the return of Dodge to the stock car series. The three had dinner Saturday night during the Ferrari Finale Mondiale at Daytona International Speedway. Marchionne, who is also the CEO of Ferrari, was in town for the Ferrari Only World Finals and Sunday's Formula One exhibition. Okay, ask about the return to NASCAR. Mr. Marchionne says yes, and then he explained that I talked to Jim France about this Saturday night. And he also said, he admitted, this is Mr. Marchionne, I was the one who made the decision to pull out of NASCAR. I am the guilty party at the table. In 2009, we came out of bankruptcy and tried to race NASCAR, but with the big bills and make payroll, it was just a stretch. We are in a different place now, and I think it is possible we can come back to NASCAR. I think we need to find the right way to come back in, but I agreed with both Jim and Lisa that we would come back to the issue. Jim France confirmed that he had spoken to Mr. Marchionne about bringing Dodge back into NASCAR's top series. So, what does that sound like?
It sounds like that they have, all parties have decided that in their best interest they come back.
Yeah. Now, coming back isn't easy from what I've seen. It takes, they have to submit a car to NASCAR, what, about 2 years in advance?
Okay, Jack, glad you brought that up. For them to have any manufacturer wanting to come back into NASCAR for the 2017 season would have had to make a formal request by September of 2015. But of course, we know Brian Z can waive any rule at any time. So I don't know that should be viewed as set in stone.
Well, Bobby, here's what I was thinking. Aren't there a couple Dodges that have been running in the Xfinity series?
I couldn't answer that.
I think there's at least one.
That's what I'm thinking. So that car is approved. So the route back, I would think, would be to come in through the Xfinity series for the first year and get your team together and that type of thing.
Well, and like was just said, they can waive that, and you can best believe somebody as big as the Dodge name has been in NASCAR all these years, they're not going to put them out on what I would consider a technicality. If they want to come back, I'll bet you they'll be at Daytona in the top series in February. If they in fact want to be there that quick.
I don't think there's any way they could.
No, there's no way they could do that, because the bigger question than all of that is who is going to be the Dodge team.
Exactly.
That's the big hurdle for them.
Yeah, but there's the possibility. We just got through discussing the fact that there's some charters available. And that might get filled. Now, the who is a good question, but
the whole question.
The space is there for them to pick up a charter.
Remember back in, this was in early 2012 when NASCAR was mandating the new body styles that was going to be implemented in 2013. That's the cars that we're still running. The Generation 6 car came online in 2013, and all the manufacturers had to submit body templates and all of that. The very first one to do so, to have a car actually built up and running, at least a street car, was Dodge. In 2012, Dodge had an actual new car. Whatever, I forgot, it might have been some kind of Charger, but it was built to the 2013 NASCAR specs. It never went through the testing approval process, but that was the next step. And then along the way, after they done that, they announced they weren't returning anyway. That was the same year that Brad Keselowski won the championship for Dodge, 2012, and they just fizzled out. So there is that design, I'm sure, somewhere in the archives of Chrysler, that would at least be a starting point.
Well, aren't all the bodies the same anyway, and the decals are the only thing that makes the difference?
The nose is different.
Yeah, the nose is different.
Each manufacturer must submit a nose and be approved by NASCAR. But don't you think if there's any possibility that they were ever going to go racing, that behind the scenes Dodge may very well have gone through the approval process every year just in case?
Now, that makes sense to you. It makes sense to me.
They don't have to announce it. They don't have to tell the world. But
that would have got out though. That I guarantee you, that would have been out if they were.
I don't think
mm-hmm.
they're doing that.
Well, to me, the cool thing about when they had that Charger concept of 3 years ago, it looked a lot like the production car because the front end was sloped like the production car. It had the grill cutouts. It wasn't just a sticker. It was actually, sunk into the front end, and even the new Chargers have, I don't know what you'd call it, but a line on the door. It's kind of sunk into the door, and it was even on the race car. So they put a lot of work into it to make it look like the counterpart.
The other thing, there's a lot of things, but, the engines, engine builders, engine suppliers, engine designs, could they start with the most recent engine they had? And if they did, would it be competitive? That was before fuel injection and all that. Penske was an engine builder for Dodge. He was the engine builder. And when he went to Ford, all of that stuff just got mothballed. All that Penske stuff, because they started buying engines from Roush Yates. So there's a lot of issues to at least resolve. Teams, engines, bodies, you name it.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if in fact they do make some sort of announcement that we're coming back in a timetable to see what the timetable is and whether or not they can meet it and whether or not NASCAR waives any of their time restrictions. What did you say, 2 years?
A year and a half.
That would be interesting to see. Of course,
where does that put them in 2019 if they started right now?
Yep.
But in fact, as big a competitor as Dodge has been and potentially can be again, that NASCAR is not going to hold them to that. If much problem as NASCAR has, they don't want to start nitpicking something like that. Look, they let Tony Stewart and Kyle Busch back in on a waiver for the point system. They let Dodge back in on a waiver.
Yeah, and I think if it comes down to it, that will be done.
Yeah, I think that would be easy. That the legalities would be easier to solve than the realities of.
Fellas, I tell you, I remind us again. I was there when they brought the Truck Series in for the first. Dodge came into the Truck Series, okay, on a R&D team and the whole thing. When they're ready to come in, every skid will be greased. There will be no issues, man. Whatever they bring to town, they can race, and there won't be a problem.
Well, that was my thought behind it. That money greases lots of potential sticky spots.
It will not be an issue.
I agree. It may be a stretch to put a Dodge on the track at Daytona, but. Yep. It wouldn't surprise me to see if they're serious about coming back and everybody is on board them to race Dodges in the upcoming 2017 season.
All right, cool. Good piece, Bobby. Like it. Love it. Enjoy it.
We'll keep an eye on that one, obviously.
Yeah. What do you got, Hugh, man?
I don't have much.
Okay, next.
I was reading that Little E is getting married during the off season, and Kurt Busch is getting married, and Clint Bowyer has sued his car owners, and then they settled it. Lots of little nitpicky stuff going on during the off season, as he is every year after the last race. Some get married, some have babies, some sue their car owners, some change car owners. It's going to be interesting to see who picks up the charters that are sort of standing idle.
Yep.
And that's another potential hurdle that Dodge would not have to gain, is that there are charters available. So
yep. Nope. That one's open. All right. Carolina Race Place, historic race finish coming up. Go ahead, Jack. Take it away.
All right. Well, tonight we are going to Nashville Speedway. In 1970, a major update happened at Nashville Fairground Speedway. That's when the new grandstands were built and the track was reconfigured to a 5/8 mile paved oval with 36 degree banking in the turns. On Sunday, October the 4th, 1970, the 12th annual Southern 300 NASCAR-sanctioned late-model sportsman race was held. The two-day event started on Saturday with time trials. Red Farmer of Hueytown, Alabama, won the pole position and also set a new track record with a lap of 119.872 miles per hour. Starting on the outside front row would be James Hamm of Nashville, Tennessee. Red Farmer was driving a 1966 Ford and Hamm in a 1964 Chevelle. When the 300 lap race got underway on Sunday, Red Farmer quickly took the lead. He was passed by James Hamm on lap 6. On lap 23, Freddie Fryer, who started in the 5th position, worked his way up to the number one spot. James Hamm retook the lead on lap 38. The race began to settle down for the next 73 laps. That's when Darrell Waltrip drove his 65 Chevelle to the lead. Waltrip had a right front brake pad malfunction on lap 138, causing him to spin out. Waltrip made several pit stops under the yellow flag for repairs. James Hamm overtook the lead for the third time on lap 139. On lap 164, Red Farmer and Charlie Brinkley got together. Both cars spun off the track and out of the race. The leader, James Hamm, was also slightly involved, but continued to lead. On lap 167, Freddie Fryer blew his engine in his 1964 Chevelle. By lap 183, James Hamm's car had developed major mechanical problems, which ended his day. The new leader on lap 184, Bobby, are you paying attention? The new leader on lap 184 was Richard Brickhouse of Rocky Point, North Carolina. Brickhouse set the pace, outrunning everyone on the track for the next 46 laps. On lap 230, Brickhouse blew a tire, sending his car into the wall and out of the race. L.D. Ottinger of Newport, Tennessee, took the lead on lap 231. News reports said that when Brickhouse hit the wall, he had a 5-lap lead over L.D. Ottinger. L.D. Ottinger led the final 69 laps to the checkered flag on lap 300. The victory was worth $2,000 to Ottinger from the $12,000 purse. There were 13,000 fans in attendance. Okay, here's the way they finished. Nashville Fairground Speedway, Nashville, Tennessee, Southern 300 Late Model Sportsman Race, October the 4th, 1970. The winner, in driving the number 2, L.D. Ottinger from Newport, Tennessee, in a 64 Chevelle, followed by Harry Gant, Taylorsville, North Carolina, Gary Cook, Nashville, Tennessee, Darrell Waltrip, Owensboro, Kentucky, Gene Glover, Kingsport, Tennessee, Don Israel, Asheville, North Carolina, Art Ellis, Nashville, Tennessee, Sam Summers, Savannah, Georgia, Ronnie Lassingham, Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, Charles Higdon, Laverne, Tennessee, Bill Morton, Nashville, Tennessee, Bob Hunley, Nashville, Tennessee, Warren Hughes, Richard Brickhouse, Rocky Point, North Carolina. James Hamm finished 15th, Nashville, Tennessee. Bobby Walker, Nashville, Tennessee. Freddie Fryer, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Red Farmer, Hueytown, Alabama. Charlie Brinkley, Hendersonville, North Carolina. Bosco Lowe finished 20th, Fletcher, North Carolina. Alton Jones, Pleasant Grove, Alabama. Chester Albright, Cedar Hill, Tennessee. Jerry Sisko, Nashville, Tennessee. George Bones, Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Mangrum, Franklin, Tennessee, finished 25th. Jim Hunter, Knoxville, Tennessee. Bob Burcham, Rossville, Georgia. Jack Ingram, Asheville, North Carolina. Paul Lewis, Johnson City, Tennessee. Fluky Buford, Thompson Station, Tennessee, finished 30th. Robert Wales, Pleasant Grove, Alabama. Benny Curley, Hidden Knight, North Carolina. In the 33rd, final car, Chet Williams, Morristown, Tennessee, in a Ford.
Did you say Fluky?
Fluky Buford.
Buford.
Fluky Buford. Fluky Buford. Say that real quick three times.
Fluky Buford. Fluky. Actually, I do it.
I didn't have a sip. I couldn't even
do it twice. Jack, give us. Have you got any info on the Richard Brickhouse situation? What kind of car was he driving?
He was driving a 65 Chevelle, a local car from somebody in the Nashville area. Apparently, he had won he did win at Talladega, I guess, the year before, and he was doing something in Nashville earlier in the year and was offered to drive this car in the Southern 300, which he did.
Awesome. At one point, had a five-lap lead.
Five-lap lead, according to news reports, which I think is unbelievable, but that's what it said.
That's getting around there, right, man? Yeah. All right. Legendorial up next. Tim and Cody, you'll close the show. Take it away, Tim.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. I have entitled this one, The End Before the New Beginning. Seems there have been a lot of endings lately. Tony Stewart retires from cup racing. Greg Buffer retires from cup racing. Some charters are up for sale or rent, including perhaps one from Richard Petty Motorsports. The end of the Sprint Cup, perhaps the end of the Cup Series. Not the racing, just the use of the word Cup. NASCAR is moving forward in its quest for younger fans, and the addition of Monster Energy Drink as the sponsor of the Premier Series is a definite attraction to younger fans. I've actually had two cans of Monster, both given to me when Monster was participating in an event where I made an appearance in Charlotte last May. I was surprised by the good taste, but I didn't notice much of a boost in energy. But then when I'm doing something like that event, it would take a really powerful drink to boost me anymore. Remember when the champion at the end of the year went from the Grand National champion to the Winston Cup champion? I remember that very well when Winston stepped in as title sponsor in the early 70s. I remember when I started covering the races for the local radio station in 1974 and would go to sign in for my press credentials, and Winston was giving away cartons of cigarettes and all sorts of trinkets to members of the press when we signed in. I have many of those pins given out to pin your credentials to your shirt, some in red, some in white, and some in silver, representing the 25th anniversary of Winston's involvement. Think most of us know the story of how Junior Johnson went to R.J. Reynolds seeking sponsorship for his team, and when RJR told him what they were prepared to spend, Junior called Bill France. You see, cigarettes were forbidden to advertise on broadcast media, so they had all this advertising money to spend somewhere, and NASCAR was the primary somewhere. As it worked out, it was a great thing for RJR and a great thing for NASCAR. I was talking with a young fan just this past week, and he told me that to him, the championship would always be the Winston Cup. At his age, I'm surprised he knew of the Winston Cup, but he is a student of racing history. After Winston came Nextel, which was soon bought out by Sprint, and the series became the Sprint Cup. Sprint enjoyed a good run with NASCAR, but I believe Sprint was observing the decline in the sport and wanted to get out before they were required to renew the contract. I have not been able to verify this anywhere because both NASCAR and Sprint are very private with information. as I have learned, so is Monster. Information I was able to obtain but can't confirm is that Sprint paid $50 million a year for sponsorship, while Monster will pay only $20 million. Did I say only $20 million? My bank account would love something like that. Another strange thing here is that NASCAR has always made known the length of contracts. Nextel Sprint was 10 years. The television contract is 10 years. No disclosure of any kind was made as to the length of the Monster Energy contract. Year to year, perhaps? I do have a question as to what this may do to the Kurt Busch sponsorship in Cup. Admittedly, it will not be the first time NASCAR has appropriated a sponsor from a race team. Also, what does this do to NOS Energy Drinks that sponsor Kyle Busch and 5-Hour Energy that sponsors Clint Bowyer? Remember when Jeff Gordon bought the competition sponsor logo off the top of his car and NASCAR took a dim view of that action? After that, Jeff would always sit down by the car so the camera wouldn't pan the competitor sponsor on the roof of his car. We'll have to wait and see on this. As I'm sure most of you have read, there is talk of removing the word cup from the championship title. I must admit the Monster Cup doesn't exactly have the same ring as the Winston Cup. I suppose they will just call the champ the Monster. Also, did you see where Monster wants the goody-goody drivers to become displays of raw emotion? Remember Kenseth and Logano at Martinsville? I'm not exactly sure what Monster is seeking there, but if they think such a display is a return to the way stock car racing was, they are very wrong. I remember the stories of the pioneers of the sport where they shared everything they had with each other, often renting one motel room for 8 or 10 to stay in. I wish NASCAR the best as it moves into 2017. I wish Monster the best with its efforts to revitalize the sport. I'll tell you, from going in and out of the Circle K where I buy gas, almost everyone under the age of 35 is walking out with a Monster drink in their hands. Not NOS, not 5-Hour Energy, but Monster. It is already has the appeal to the demographic NASCAR covets. So if they do their marketing along those lines, should be a good run for both parties. I look forward to seeing what happens while at the same time looking back to what men accomplished without such things as series sponsors and chase races. We are moving forward, but we are committed to remembering how we got there. Thank you, Jeff. Back to you. So, and Devin should have that on the homepage shortly.
So this has plenty of potential, I think. I mean, I think there's a lot of roadblocks, a lot of things to get over. But it's, like Tim said, it does target the demographic that NASCAR covets perfectly, better than anything else that they could probably have ever done. And if Monster really wants to shake things up, we'll take these mile-and-a-half racetracks that are out there and put a dirt track chicane in the backstretch. You know?
Like a motorcycle race is a motocross.
And a double jump along the front stretch.
Yeah, well, Jake can build them jump ramps going down the front stretch.
That could come the pass.
Did you guys, I don't know if you've been on the site lately, did you see the article I wrote back in 2011 called Wascar?
Oh, yeah.
Wascar.
Did I not come in on that?
Yeah, you did. I don't know if Bobby saw it or not, though.
I saw it. That's not totally far-fetched.
It's not, man. Think about it. Think what's working. They're packing the stands for Monster trucks.
And motocross and that.
Oh, yeah, man.
Stadium trucks.
Stadium-type stuff is cool.
And little boys love Monster trucks.
Yeah.
I mean, even the youngest. My grandson will be 3, and he's been crazy over Monster trucks.
So you take those truck series, put them all on dirt tracks, rip out the fenders, and put some big old dirt track car tires on them, and turn them loose, man.
Hey, now we're the vintage modifieds.
Put a figure eight in.
But to tell you the truth, I don't disagree at all that the classic NASCAR model may have outlived its effect.
It has, yeah.
I mean, the long distance 500-mile race on a big track.
Absolutely.
I think has outlived its prime. Our generation thought it was great. We thought it was great, but
we didn't have anything else to do.
But But the younger people, they're not drawn to it.
They don't have the attention span to do it.
It'll never work for them that long.
But whether they do or not, the bottom line is they ain't interested.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing.
So their consumption, 35 and under, they do not consume TV at the same rate the 35 mm-hmm. plus do. They consume their entertainment online. So that's going to be a major change that will have to occur to make all this work somewhere along the line. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they're not going to sit down in their TV on Sunday afternoon and watch anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I wonder if Monster Energy is going to continue to sponsor Kurt Busch.
Yes. Yes, they are.
They are.
They've already announced. They didn't know that much.
All right, Cody. You're up, buddy.
Oh, you're in.
Take it away.
All right. And I just wanted to say, too, I think NOS is owned by Monster, so that shouldn't have any effect. But you know, I just got to thinking, you were saying appealing for young people. At least in my generation, a big thing is not really hot rods, not really muscle cars. It's drifting. And I'm just sitting here thinking about it. Drifting, a kid of my age can build a drift car for, you know, not too much money. A kid of my age cannot go and build a super late model. We cannot go out and build a dirt late model or a drag car, something like that. You know, it's just, I think the cost of just racing in general has gotten too expensive, so maybe they're going to the drifting to relate to something else. I don't know.
So to answer, before we go too far, in June 12, 2015, Coca-Cola Company transferred ownership of its worldwide energy business, including NOS, to Monster.
Oh, I thought Coke owned Monster.
I did not know that. Whoa. My education in the energy drink department has really taken a hit tonight.
Well, thank you for that clarification, Jeff.
Well, if Cody, I've
never had an energy drink of any kind.
No, you don't want one, Bobby. It would change your personality.
I have never had one.
We'd have to chain him to the desk.
Yeah, it sure would. He would really. He'd be bopper on extreme.
Yeah. You know. I guess what we could do is on these cookie cutter mile and a halfs, change them from rear wheel drive to front wheel drive, and just let them drift around a quarter mile each lap.
Yeah, break your crowds for that.
You know, one thing about Eldora and its appeal is that it's different.
Yep.
I mean, the Eldora truck race is like nothing else in all of NASCAR.
And it's well attended both on TV and in person.
The trucks, the Busch and the Cup, are all, the show looks exactly the same. Exactly. There's no difference in the way that the product looks.
Here are things that Monster produces. Monster Energy, Hansen's Natural Soda, Hansen's Energy, Hansen's Junior Juice, Hubert's Lemonade, Peace Tea, and Blue Sky.
Hubert's Lemonade.
There you go, man.
Wonder if it's
Monster does all that.
It's Hubert's Hard Lemonade.
Oh. Bobby, have you been sampling it?
Oh. But I could see that coming for the next broadcast.
Hubert's Hard Lemonade.
Jeff,
get a Hubert and go the distance.
Yes. You can't see it on the small screen that's up there, but there's a bottle of Pin High Vodka sitting to Bobby's left that you can see on the larger.
Next week we'll have some Hubert's Lemonade up there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Remember that name.
I can see a change coming.
Pin High. Yeah. They have a drink that they mix called the Mulligan Goat, so I gravitated right to it.
We're talking.
I wonder why.
We're off the Monster kick now. Yep. When we get the Mulligan Goat,
we just hijacked Cody's segment
again.
He hadn't took on a full segment in a long time. We give him about 3 minutes and took it away from him. Okay, Cody, back to you.
He got 3 minutes.
All right, so
you can start over if you want to.
I didn't even start.
Rewind.
No, he didn't even start.
So. All right, go ahead, Cody.
All right, so anyway,
I promise not to say anything, Cody. Go ahead.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. So let's see. I've only got 9 minutes to go.
Start talking, Cody.
So I've got this book here, and I've brought it out in the past, and I would, at the time, just read little excerpts here and there. This book was probably from the late 90s sometime. But it just has some old racing stories, and I just wanted to, I got two picked out that I wanted to share with you, and they're from Ned Jarrett. And so just pretend I'm Ned Jarrett talking on this.
All right.
It says, I remember when I was driving for R.C. McDaniel in a 57 Chevy, and although the car was fast, it didn't last for long, so I never was there at the finish. Well, after a Greenville, South Carolina race during July of 1959, I had once again broken down and did not finish the race. So it's Friday night, and I'm riding back with my brother and a friend, and I just told them, I'm not doing my career a bit of good like this. I need to make a change. And I had heard that Junior Johnson had a 57 Chevy or a Ford for sale, and he wanted $2,000 for the car. I didn't have that kind of money, but I figured I could win that kind of money if I were to win a few races. Then I heard about two upcoming races that very weekend, one at Myrtle Beach and one at Charlotte, both paying $950. Well, I figured in my head, if I had won both of those races, I could scrape together the last $100. So I went to Junior's garage the next day to buy it, but I made sure that I went afternoon that Saturday. See, this is when banks were open on Saturday, and Junior and I both did business with the same bank. I knew if they got that check before noon, it would be not any good. At that time, the only thing I had was a desire. So right after about noontime, I went to Junior's shop and said, Junior, I believe I'll buy that race car. Not only did I get the car, I got a real good deal, because I bargained with the tow rig, mechanics, wheels, tires for that weekend, and guess what? I won both races. That's what launched me into my Winston Cup career. And then I got one more here.
Is it also Ned Jarrett?
It is. I think I got to go to the next page here. All right, sorry about that. So one of the funniest stories related to me was from Jim Hunter, who once was NASCAR and is now president of the Darlington Raceway. And of course, you can tell how dated this book is. Back when Jim was public relations director for Chrysler, David Pearson was driving a Dodge, so this must have been in the mid-60s. Jim would go to Spartanburg, where David lived, and they would ride to some of the races together. On one trip where Jim was driving, Pearson, who was not known for following the speed limit when he wanted to go somewhere, kept nagging Jim and hurrying him, telling they were late and need to step on the gas. Well, Jim let David get to him, and soon they were hitting 90 miles an hour, looking in his rear view where a patrolman's blue lights was pulling him over for speeding. When the officer came to the window, David leaned over, taking his handkerchief, and mopping his brow, he said, Officer, I'm so glad you pulled us. I've been trying to get him to slow down for miles. Later, driving to a race, Pearson was driving and Hunter was riding with him. Now, this is back when Chrysler had a push-button transmission. So they were sitting at a red light, and a brand new Camaro pulled up beside them with a bunch of kids in the car. Jim Hunter said to Pearson, I believe these kids here think that they can out-drag you. So David, don't embarrass us. So Pearson laughed at him, while Hunter was quietly slipping the car into reverse with the push of a button. As soon as the light turned green, Pearson stood on the gas and demolished a pickup truck behind him. Hunter grinned at a dumbfounded Pearson and said slyly, That'll teach you next time you'll think before you tell the highway patrol you've been trying to slow me down.
Oh, good stuff.
So that's just a couple little excerpts from some pretty funny stories among racing.
Yeah, I love that stuff, man. That's cool. That was good. Appreciate you bringing those out, Cody.
Yeah.
You want to hear the rest of the story on Ned's purchase of that car?
Yep.
He drove the Saturday night race at Myrtle Beach, and the steering wheel tape was on backwards, and it tore Ned's hands completely up. So the next race, I think, was in Charlotte on Sunday, and he could not drive the car, so Junior took over. Ned won the race at Myrtle Beach. Junior took over the car in Charlotte and won the race, and Ned got the money. So that's how he got his $2,000.
So there, that's the rest of the story.
That's the rest of the story. My salute to Paul Harvey.
All right, people, good stuff. Let me give you an update on the website stuff. We started migrating all the content over from the stock car site and the drag racing site. About 90% of it's there. I've been working on it, tweaking it, getting it set up. Might happen a little sooner than I thought. I'm a little bit ahead of schedule, considerably ahead of schedule, but expect to hit more roadblocks before it's all over. Liking it. I think you're going to like it. It's a good deal. Good news is all of our photos came over. I was really worried about that. So with all of the names still attached to them, those that have been named, and it looks like all of our forum, several thousand pages of forum comments came over. So that looks good. We are looking at a tool that would take the blog that's on the racersreunion.com site and import it into this new site as well, so that we've got all that there. So all is looking well to have all of our content under one roof by the end of the year. So that's good. We're 3, 4, 5 years past due on that, but it's happening. So there you go.
Tell us about your new babysitting job.
Bob. I've been babysitting Bob back here while Eli is out of town.
And who is Bob?
Bob is a bearded dragon. He eats worms.
Oh, okay.
And collard greens. And I feed him worms twice a day and give him a fresh salad every day. And I got a water spritzer thing. I wet him down, keep him nice and keep his skin dry so that he's got a good complexion. And kind of he's shedding a little bit, so I pulled the dry skin off of his tail. He appreciates that. So anyway, but there's a little video on my Facebook page of me feeding Bob that I did so that Eli could tell that I was taking care of him. Before Eli left, the only thing, every few minutes he kept giving me more instructions for Bob. He wanted to make sure that I knew how to take care of the lizard. Well, he's not, Bob doesn't like to be use the L word. He's a dragon. So yeah, I didn't say that. I didn't mean to. Yeah.
He'll come bite you on the ankle.
Yep. But Bob and I are getting along pretty good. He, he's getting used to me. And I think he's actually enjoying the peace and quiet.
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine.
All right, folks, we'll wrap it up. Thanks to all of you. Nice having all of you folks here and everybody contributing to the show. I really, really appreciate you very much.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah, good to see you all, too. Thanks to all you fans out there that tuned in and kept us up. Sorry about the short notice on the stream. I've just been having some issues with Ustream, so I decided to go straight to Facebook Live. We're probably going to do that from now on. I'm probably not going to fool with the Ustream stuff anymore, and at least not for a little bit. But so there. That's that. I want to say a special thanks to all the men and women that serve in the military. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can all do this. To each and every one of you, good night and God bless. By the brakes, raising all the standards when he drove through the gate on the dusty little dirt tracks all across Carolina. One could look forever, but none better you could find. From Sawmill Jerry came when racing was the best, when a man and his machine was the ultimate of tests on those dim